Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Welcome to Focus Today. I'm your host, Perry Atkinson, and I'm delighted to have back with us. It's been too long. Joe Dallas is back with us. He's a conference speaker, ordained pastoral counselor, author of several books, including When Sexuality Hits Home and Christians in a Canceled Culture. Joe directs biblical counseling ministries for those dealing with sexual and relational problems and is the author of a daily blog called Joe Dallas Online. And you can go to joedallas.com is his website. And then, of course, check out his podcast, Joe Dallas Online. Joe, good to see you again, friend. How are you?
Really good, Barry. Good seeing you, too.
Thank you for your time. We got a lot to talk about in a short amount of time, but my first question for you today is, what the president declared over the weekend, and I guess what makes this so significant is the president declared it, decreed it. I got a lot of emotions about it, but it seems to me that we are now faced with the golden calf. Are we going to bow down and worship this thing, or we're going to walk away from it?
Yeah, this is, after all, Perry, the same president who told us a few years ago that if you have kids who are transgender, the most important thing you can do is affirm them. So I'm not surprised that he has taken a pro-transgender position, but like I think millions of Americans and probably people around the world, it was appalling to see this recognized on the day that we recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fairness, I understand that this day designated for transgender awareness has always fallen on I believe it's the 30th or 31st of March, when we had. I understand that. But it would have taken minimal effort to simply move it to another day, given the fact that throughout the year, there are a number of days and even weeks dedicated to recognizing people who are transgendered. Surely this would have been a minor accommodation to make. But I think what we're really seeing is the dismantling of Eden. We're seeing a deconstruction of the idea that we have a creator, that the earth and the animal kingdom were meant to be subordinate to humanity, not vice versa, that marriage was established as a male-female union, and now even the very definition of what it is to be a man or a woman, all of them are being desecrated. And I think that this has, of course, more spiritual implications, even the political and cultural ones, but it really does have all three. So this was just another incremental step towards brazenly saying we want Baal in our sanctuaries. And a reading of the Old Testament, I think, proves that the outside world can be so hostile to the truth of God that the spirit of the outside world, at the risk of sounding overly mystical, will try to influence the very people of God into making these kinds of compromises. And I got to say, incrementally, we are seeing the church getting chipped away at so that our position on these things is getting fuzzier and fuzzier. And, you know, I think that's the idea. Mm. I really do.
Joe, did you ever think you'd see such open blasphemy?
Yes, I did, but I'm still a little shocked to see it. You know, Perry, it's almost like if you knew somebody had a lethal disease and you knew, okay, their condition is terminal, and so at some point we're going to see some terrible things done to their body. But it's still horrible to see, and you're never quite ready for it. And I think the same is true of America. I'm not saying I'm waving the white flag that all is lost, there's no hope. I mean, America is still alive. The church is still within America. And after all, America is not the kingdom of God. I get all of that. But realistically, we're seeing a country in severe decline. While I expected that at some point, it's still a scary and a pretty horrific thing to see.
So, it really is. One of the things you addressed in your writings is to know how to stand against all of this. And what's interesting to me is that I'm wondering if we're moving into a three Hebrew children moment, a Book of Daniel moment. Are we going to stand and not bend and not bow? I mean, how do we handle this, Coach?
Well, let's accept the fact that God's people, whether we're looking at, you know, God's people in the Old Testament or the church in the New Testament, persecution has often come not from what we do, but from our refusal to do certain things. Mm. So you look at Daniel, you look at his friends, just for example, saying, no, I won't bow when the music plays. I won't step outside of what I know to be God's will for my own life. That's basically where we're at. In all fairness, we didn't ask for this war, did we? I mean, I don't remember starting to fight with anybody, but the culture is shifting and has shifted to positions that it now holds about things as fundamental as the definition of marriage and family. Now the culture and the cultural institutions, pretty powerful ones, by the way. I mean, we're talking the education industry, the psychiatric industry, news media, entertainment industry. They're all saying to the church, you guys need to shift too. And in the church, we are largely saying we can't. And for that reason, we're experiencing those moments where the powers that be are soon going to be saying to the church, if you won't revise your positions according to our idea of what your position should be, there's going to be hell to pay. And yeah, I mean, come on, last presidential election, almost all of the Democratic candidates said that they favored revoking the tax-exempt status of churches who would not support same-sex marriage. Now, look, I'm not going to compare revocation of tax-exempt status to, you know, being thrown to the lions. I get it that there's a real difference in severity, but the principle is that those who hold to the biblical position on these things, and those who really hold to the idea that God knew what he was doing when he made us male and female and when he instituted marriage, we're being told more and more that we are a lethal influence in the culture. We are the haters. We are the, golly, Perry, I don't know if you followed this, but there's a whole new trend now to both diagnose and treat this thing called religious trauma, which is being seen as a psychological condition that you got, it was inflicted on you if you were raised in a Bible-believing church where they taught absolutes. Ooh, that might have done you emotional damage. And we're going to see a whole industry springing up in the next few years saying, hey, if you were raised by Christian parents and they told you certain things were fundamentally true and certain things were fundamentally false, you may be a victim of religious trauma and you may need treatment and or more.
Wow. A couple of weeks ago, I had Eric Metaxas on. I don't know if you read his book, his letter to the open letter to the American church. But in there, basically, he said that there were roughly 3,000 churches that stood against Hitler. There were 3,000 churches that supported him, and the other 12,000 were on the fence, not realizing the devil owns the fence.
Right.
Is that where we are with these social issues?
That is where we are, and this is where I think a lot of people kid themselves into thinking, well, the majority of us do not believe these things that are being promoted, even by the government. We don't believe that a man can become a woman. We don't believe in same-sex marriage. We don't believe in murdering the life within the womb. The majority of us don't believe that. Therefore, this is all going to pan out. The majority will eventually win. No, that's not true. It's not true at all. If you have a committed minority, and then you only have a small percentage of people who are committed to withstanding that minority, and you've got the majority just sitting there, the bully's going to win, you know? Most people in the schoolyard were not bullies, Perry. Mm-hmm. As I remember the schoolyard, there were only a few bullies, but they steamrolled everybody else because everybody else would just sit there. So this is what I think we're seeing, both in that mistaken passivity and the very mistaken idea, which is growing in the church, by the way, that there is something wrong with taking clear positions and defending those positions, that somehow if we address moral issues, we are becoming needlessly political. And I've got to tell you, again, getting back to a little bit of devil talk here, if I hated humanity the way Satan does, that's exactly what I'd want the church to do, is to be convinced that it's a very ungodly thing to do, to take clear positions. You might offend someone, somebody might be hurt, you might be seen as too political, you might alienate people. So by all means, try to make nice, even at the expense of truth. And I think that's where we are.
Is that what you're calling the progressive church?
Oh, absolutely. The progressive church is committed to changing the way we either read the Bible or the way we prioritize the Bible. The progressive church wants to revise what the scripture says, but if it doesn't succeed in doing that, it wants to succeed then at least in convincing us that these issues we're talking about, the way of salvation, the creation of humanity, the definition of normal sexuality, that these are not that important, you know. So kind of soft pedal those and go for the broader themes of love and harmony and unity, which I'm all for. Perry, I challenge anybody to out-cuddle me, man. I'm the best cuddler I know. I love affection. I'm all into that. Mm-hmm. But that is not love. Affection is a wonderful thing. But love is about, according to 1 Corinthians 13, love is about truth. It's about steadfastness. It's about perseverance. It's about things that are much stronger than what we are hearing it presented as today, which is basically affection and nice and sort of feeling without any particular guidance.
I would really like to unpack that with you. I want to come back and have you on that because I know that you deal a lot with that whole area. But my concern at the moment is that we're giving a lot of this stuff a pass because we just don't want to get involved. But there's some other things that are happening, Joe. We're seeing some interesting revivals break out, if I can use the term revival. We had it at University of Alabama. We just saw it at the end of the Phil Robertson's film, Duck Dynasty guy, a bunch of people get baptized. It seems that this cultural nonsense seems to be hitting a wall, and it's leaving people empty, and they're looking to, quote, religion. Is it our hour? Is this our hour?
I sure hope so, Perry. Look, I mean, it's often true that when ungodliness is so manifest that you can't call it anything but ungodliness, that can be a wake-up call in a twofold sense, okay? Here's what I think is happening. I think on the one hand, with such a blatant manifestation of lawlessness that we're seeing and ungodliness, it's a wake-up call to the church that, wow, we need to reform and make sure that we ourselves are living separated lives. We need to be about the preaching of the gospel. This world really is lost. I mean, what we're seeing is a manifestation of depravity. These people need Jesus. There's sort of a recommitment on the part of the church. But then to non-believers, there's also a, wow, this sure looks crazy. There must be something more. Mm. I think that the weirdness of the times is causing a lot of people to look into the claims of Christ and the claims of Christianity. So I think that those are two elements that are in our favor, you know. And as much as I hate so much of what's happening today, Perry, at least it's getting to be more honest. You know, the culture is moving further and further away from pretending that it has respect for the basic Judeo-Christian values our nation was founded on, and it's moving more and more towards saying, hey, honestly, forget all of that stuff. We got a better idea. And I think that starkness is waking a lot of people up, both within the church and outside the church.
That is so well said, Joe. Thank you. Because there's an old saying, you can't really defend what you don't really believe.
Yet, we're not used to defending, Perry.
Yeah.
This territory for us, the American church is accustomed to expressing the truth, but not to defending the truth, because we've traditionally, up until the last few decades, been on friendlier terms with the culture. Mm. Now, I think we're finding ourselves, whoops, we're all of a sudden have to gear up for battle, and we didn't go through boot camp. So this is causing us to scramble a bit.
Wow, you're fascinating. I want to get you back. Let me show to our viewers and listeners a couple of places. Check out Joe's daily blog. It's called Joel Dallas Online. Check out his two books, When Sexuality Hits Home and Christianity in a Canceled Culture. There's the cover of those books there. Joe does have a website, joedallas.com. I want to come back, Joe, because I think, first of all, to the one thing we just talked about, we're getting some simple questions here at the Dove Media Networks. Question number one, is there really a God? Can you imagine that? It's as simple as that. Is there really a God? Yeah. The other question I want to deal with on you is, you touched on it, and that is the affection and the emotions that draws people in that can rob them. And I want to talk to you about that because I know you're right about that. Good to see you, friend. Keep up the good work.
Seeing you. Thanks so much, Perry. Great seeing you.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.